When we come back, we go to New Orleans. Stay with us.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand. I'm leaving here today. Yes, I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. You used to be my honey, till you spent all my money. No use for you to cry, I see you by and by.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As we do turn to New Orleans and the ongoing problem residents face in securing housing after Hurricane Katrina, over 100 families living in the Woodlands apartment complex in the Algiers neighborhood are facing eviction. A few days before Thanksgiving, tenants in the complex received notices telling them they had to vacate the premises because the new owners of the building were planning massive renovations. The building's previous owner, Anthony Reginelli, had ceded management of the complex to the Common Ground Collective last May. Common Ground then hired residents to do major repairs on the building. The group estimates it's provided $1 million in labor and improvements. And as rents skyrocket throughout New Orleans, Common Ground management froze the rents at Woodlands to their pre-Katrina levels. Common Ground says they tried to initiate negotiations with Reginelli to purchase the building in order to turn it into a housing and business cooperative. Instead, Reginelli sold the building and started eviction proceedings. Earlier this month, Reginelli and several New Orleans police officers entered Common Ground's office, seized files and computers containing lease and other information about the complex. Tenants are going to court tomorrow on Tuesday to fight the evictions. Malik Rahim joins us now from New Orleans, the co-founder of the Common Ground Collective. Welcome, Malik Rahim.
Thank you, Amy, and it's an honor to be on your show.
It's great to be with you. Tell us what is happening in your neighborhood in Algiers at this Woodlands complex.
Well, what had happened is Anthony Reginelli purchased the Woodlands in 2000 for $900,000. From 2000 up until the Katrina hit, he was averaging $1 million. He was netting average $1 million a year. He also borrowed $5 million on the development. And then in return after Katrina, he waited 2.5 months before he even returned. And by then, the development was out of control, and he wouldn't invest nothing into providing any services. By the time we came in April, the place was in a shamble. The grass was maybe about 4 or 5 feet high, and it was full of trash. All the units had been vandalized, and the place was just in an uproar. Residents was living in fear. They contacted us. We came in. We met with Reginelli, and the commitment was that he had an offer on the table to purchase the development. But that offer was based upon this company receiving tax credits. That was should have been June the 15th. Was the deadline and awarding of the contract of the tax credits. If they didn't receive the contracts, the tax credits, then he was supposed to enter into an agreement with us to purchase. In good faith, we took over management. We cleaned up the crack houses. We went in and cleaned up the development. We had became the largest employers in New Orleans of at-risk residents. We was employing 41 residents, 20 in a training program that we had established, 6 hours a day, $10 an hour, 5 hours on-the-job training, 1 hour on group session. Because of the fact that in New Orleans after Katrina, the federal government, the state government, the local government refused to even attempt to do any type of trauma counseling. So we established our own. We established a youth program that we call Kids and Community. Every other weekend, we gave a unity and a community barbecue and seafood bar. We took 100 kids out of the local high school, and we gave them $50 a month to teach them civic responsibility. And all this was improving. We made a big difference in this community. But what we later found out is that Reginelli had no intentions on selling it to us. You know, that at the same time he was steady telling us that, yeah, he gonna sell it to us. Yeah, he was gonna go forward with the purchase agreement. We later found out that he had no intentions, that he helped create the Johnson Group. He helped them to establish. He helped them by even helping them with their purchase, not only purchase agreement, but the financing of the Woodlands. And then he came in at the last minute. He sold it on Halloween, and the next day he came in and gave residents a 9-day notice. You know, and now he's saying that he didn't know that the apartments was being leased out, but he's a lawyer, and he had been there ever since the beginning that we have been there. You know, so it's just a continuous mess that New Orleans have invested into.
So, Malik Rahim, you go to court tomorrow. What happens yes. then, and what are you calling for?
Well, first thing we're calling for is amnesty, because regardless of what happened, because as a spiritual person, I believe that God sit high, but he looked low. And pretty soon that I know that we're going to be victorious in whatever settlement that is made. But in the interim, the residents, those individuals who have nothing to do with this, he have demonized them as being crackheads and everything else. And most of them are just good, hardworking people. And we are trying to just ask the court to allow these people to live there. You know, I mean, it is an idea he couldn't, that no one couldn't make money, because he could make money at the pre-existing rent, you know, but he don't want this. He want to be able to increase the rent. He want to be able to take federal funds that's now being allocated to New Orleans so he could renovate this place. This is what this is all about. This is all about profiteering on federal funds at the back of the existing resident. So we asking for a moratorium. Give these residents and let them live out the time of their lease. You know, let them stay there. You know, it's not the idea that you won't make any money. You just won't make as much. You know, and you know, as greed is motivating to, but you'll make a money off, and then let the courts decide what's going on.
Is Mayor, you know, Ray Nagin intervening?
Ray Nagin haven't done anything. We have a brand new health clinic, Amy, that we just opened up in the Lower Ninth Ward. I mean, that we just got completed on August the 28th. We opened that health clinic on the 28th. The mayor shut it down on the 29th. So now since August the 29th up until the day, we have a new state-of-the-art health clinic in the Lower Ninth Ward, an area of New Orleans that's in most need of health care, with a clinic that is closed. For last week was the week of the Bayou Classic. We asked them to just sign off so we could do a week of survival programs so that we could educate people on what is needed, what can they do, what resources is available for them.
Malik, we have 30 seconds. If people want to find out more information, where can they go or call or get information
on the web? They could go to commongroundrelief.org, or either they could call us at area code 504-304-9097. That's area code 504.
We will put that on our website, Malik, and okay. Also commonground.org. Malik Rahim, founder of the Common Ground Collective, as we end our program in the southern state of Mexico, Oaxaca. Late last night, we got independent journalist John Gibler in Oaxaca. He filed this report.
thousands of supporters of the Oaxaca People's Popular Assembly, or APPLE for its Spanish initials, marched from the governor's offices 8 miles into Oaxaca City on Saturday. As they entered the city center, protesters formed a circle around the town square, which has been occupied by federal police since October 29. The APPLE called for a 48-hour, quote, peaceful siege, end quote, of the federal police encampment, maintaining a full block of distance between the protesters and the police barricades. Within less than an hour, however, police officers robbed a protester of a cooler filled with soda and set off a series of confrontations that would lead to a 5-hour battle ending in gunfire, with hundreds of protesters and passersby wounded and at least 150 imprisoned. Enraged by the police having robbed one of their own in plain daylight, protesters hurled rocks and fired bottle rockets through plastic tubes at the police, slowly advancing toward their barricade on Alcalá and Morelos streets in central Oaxaca City. As the APPLE protesters drew close, police fired heavy amounts of tear gas, forcing the protesters to retreat one block back and fogging most of the city center with thick clouds of gas. Protesters and federal police fought along Alcalá for some 2 hours before the police began to advance, firing more tear gas and glass marbles through slingshots. By 8 p.m., protesters had been forced out of the city center. Many were captured and beaten along side streets by federal police. Once forced out of the center, uniformed and plainclothes state police officers surrounded and captured dozens of protesters, brutally beating them with batons and firing tear gas at close range. State and federal police also opened fire with handguns and assault rifles, wounding dozens. In unconfirmed reports, 3 people were shot and killed, and their bodies hauled off by police. Throughout the night, plainclothes gunmen, like the paramilitaries who have killed with impunity for months in Oaxaca, entered hospitals throughout the city looking for wounded protesters. Witnesses said that the gunmen threatened hospital employees at gunpoint and removed several wounded people from hospitals. The director of Hospital General, Dr. Felipe Gama, acknowledged that gunmen entered his hospital and roamed the halls with pistols drawn, but he denied reports that they had removed patients. Protesters, in turn, burned several government buildings and private businesses and broke windows throughout the city center. APPLE spokespeople later denounced these acts, but defended the people's right to act in self-defense, using makeshift weapons such as Molotov cocktails, bottle rockets, and slingshots. On Sunday morning, state and federal police patrolled the city, controlling the Zocalo and Santo Domingo Cathedral, both sites of former protest encampments, while dozens, perhaps even hundreds of protesters remained hidden in houses throughout the conflict area. The APPLE has called to reestablish their protest camp at Santo Domingo on 8 a.m. Monday morning.
That was independent reporter John Gibler reporting from Oaxaca, Mexico. And that does it for our program. If you are listening on the radio, you can look at the images at democracynow.org. There are transcripts of today's show as well. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Shrifa Bokadush, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Yoruba Richin, Aaron Matei, Lee Burek, Jen Utes, Mike DeFilippo, and Nick Marsilio, our engineers. Special thanks to Angela Alston and Elizabeth Press, our website, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.